Amen. Well,
love
praise
Christ.
The Lord. We are certainly, hallelujah. Praise God. We are so excited to be here on tonight to share a message of hope and love and, you know, just a sound mind with each of you. And we are just giving God the glory that is due his name because he is so worthy to be praised. And we certainly want to give honor to our international presiding bishop, Derek Robinson, and the Apostolic Council, and all of the great members of KDFI and those of you that are listening to us via Facebook. So thank you for joining us. And we're going to begin with a scripture reading from Overseer Larry Page, followed by prayer by Pastor Mary Brotherspoon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Bishop Lex. Good evening to everyone on the call tonight. The scripture will come from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at verse 1. And the word of the Lord read in Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith our God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. I have read into our hearing tonight, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through verse 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much. And at this time, we'll have prayer.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you humbly as we know how, thanking you for this opportunity tonight to come live on this podcast. And Lord, we ask that each and every one that is listening under the sound of my voice will receive a blessing, and it may it empower their lives to go forth out here and to do great things. And Lord, we ask that you touch the minds of each one. Bless our providers that are coming on tonight to give their demonstration and whatever they may say. Let it be a blessing to each and every one. Father God, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus for what you're going to do. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Weatherspoon and Overseer Larry Page. We just thank God for this opportunity to share the word of God with the people of God. So we give God glory, and I'm hoping that each of you were able to check the agenda for tonight. It is Kingdom Destiny Fellowship International, where our international presiding bishop is Bishop Derek Robinson. And of course, for somebody that still does not know, still does not realize that Jesus Christ, he is the Savior of the world. So this podcast tonight is Women of Destiny Speaks. God has given us a voice, and we want to use that voice for to the good. Hallelujah. To help somebody, to encourage and empower somebody that may be going through, that somebody may be on the verge of giving up. But we wanted you to know it's a reason to live. Hallelujah. Your life has purpose, and we give God for the glory that is upon your life. It is Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020, and our start time tonight was 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So the scripture, I'm not sure if our presiding bishop is on as of yet, but we're going to wait on him before we go into the segment talking about social justice. But we also want to deal with calling for the wailing women to intercede for our children, because to me, that's what social justice is all about. It's about making sure, ensuring that our children are treated the same as anyone else's children. So the scripture reading that I have chosen is taken from Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women that they may come, and send for cunning women that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. Amen. So that's letting us know that God is looking for some real women. some women that has a heart for his people, some women that love the Lord, and knowing that it's not about them, but it's all about Jesus, the hope of glory. So that's what we're going to kind of focus in on tonight as we wait for our international presiding prelate, and thank each of you that are joining in on tonight. Praise God. And it's also talking about mothers taking a stance for social justice. Because if we see from the scripture that I just read, the Lord is saying, if you really want some praying going on, if you want some birthing and some deliverance to take place, call for the willing women. Come on, women. Oh, is it our bishop?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, oh,
bless
the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, Bishop. We were just taking some time as we waited on you. Praise the Lord. We're so humbled and honored to have you on tonight, great leader. Everyone, this is our international presiding prelate, the Honorable Bishop Derek Robinson of Kingdom Destiny Fellowship International. And we're so honored to have him on tonight, a true advocate for social justice. And he's going to be sharing some knowledge and wisdom with us on tonight, because some people may not even realize exactly what social justice is. So our presiding prelate is going to come forth, and it is my distinct honor and privilege to introduce to some and present to others Bishop Derek Robinson. Amen. In your hands, Bishop.
Amen. God bless you, Bishop. And, of course, we are so delighted to have this opportunity to be on the line. And there were several speakers that I invited to come on today to speak with us. And I'm going to ask that if Reverend Kim Council and Dr. Avant Elliott would get ready to prepare yourselves to come. And I'm going to follow them, if that's okay, Bishop, just to come and talk on the life of social justice, because this is what has become our reality. And I'm so grateful for these awesome young ladies. At this time, if either one of them would come now and share with us.
Amen, Bishop. I can get started. This is Dr. Miranda Von Elliott, and I'm glad to be on the call. I've been doing social justice work more recently with KDFI, with our virtual rallies, and I've sat on the panels and talked about police reform, and we'll be talking about soon economic injustices and other racism. And so the work of social justice is about educating others about the issues within our community and coming up with solutions that will change our outcomes. I've participated with Bishop in protests, and everything has its place, and nothing should be considered less effective than others. And we've learned from great leaders like Martin Luther King, who had multiple successes around protests. And so in this season, we have to be very aware of what is happening in our communities and really advocate for justice in a very direct way in order to get change. We do have an election coming up. So one of the ways to empower others around social justice is to get the right people in the seat to bring about the changes that we need in legislation that have oppressed our communities for so long. I am an educator and elected official, so I play two important roles that's needed in our community around education and legislation. So I am encouraging the listeners today to not sit on the sideline and allow things to happen, because as the quote says, an injustice for someone else can very well be an injustice for you, and we should take on the identity of seeing those injustices as if they are our own, so we can actually be in the mindset of wanting to be involved, because we never know when that situation will come to our door. So get involved now as if it is at your door, as if it is your kid that got shot, and or injured by police and by street violence. Get involved now. So the social justice is not about just a movement or a fad, just something to do. This has to be something that is what we take on as our identity, because we serve a God of justice, and he is it will empower us and equip us with everything that we need in order to move past situations that have oppressed us. So as we approach the November election, we have to get people registered. We have to make sure that they are informed about the various ways to vote, and we need to make sure that they are properly informed about the candidates that are going forth, because there is a lot at stake when we put certain people in seats, and we have to understand our power as citizens that we can make a change in our community by getting out and voting. So at this time, I will pass it over to the next speaker, and if there's any questions, I am very open to answer those questions because I'm very passionate about this work, and I know that it's very needed and necessary in our community in order for us to bring about change. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Elliott, and thank you so much, Bishop Robinson and Bishop Lackland, for inviting me on tonight. I'm Reverend Kim Council, Associate Minister at Berean Baptist Church under the leadership of the Reverend Dr. Arlie Griffin, Jr., and a new member, very new member to KDFI. Have been active in social justice in New York for several years, and it has taken many forms. It's something that just comes out in just about every sermon that I preach. We've been involved in protests recently. We had a whole bunch of stuff going on in New York. Was at the Barclays several weeks ago. We did a Say Her Name rally to draw attention to what had happened with Breonna Taylor and all of the other women who have been killed by the police. And we also did a couple of vigils, of course, several vigils for George Floyd. The thing that is key to me, or the thing that I think is so important, is that when we look historically at what the social justice or the civil rights movement has been in these United States, that movement has always begun in the church. The church has always been the central driving force of that movement. And so I'm encouraged by Bishop Robinson and the way in which he has taken on that same mantle in his ministry. And so we want to make sure that we're doing things to keep pressure on those people and continuing to speak truth to power. So what social justice means to me, there's a lot of things that we're doing around social justice. We're protesting, and there are those who are out in the streets who are keeping pressure on the people who are in elective office. But then we're also planning and creating legislative and reform agendas, because we know that not only are there general elections for national federal offices in November, but in New York in 2021, we have citywide elections. So every single city council person and citywide elected official, the mayor, all of those individuals will be up for election. And so one of the things that we need to that we're beginning to work on or have been doing work around is creating this legislative and reform agenda. And so there are many things that we can do and a lot of pressure that we should put on those people who often come to us looking for our support. We need to make sure that, you know, we have come together collectively and determined the things that are important for our communities and to move our communities forward, and that they don't just make empty promises, but that they deliver on the things that we feel are important for our communities. So I am also running for office. And so, you know, we've got to talk about what we want to see happen. We've got to put a demand on those who are in elective office who can make things happen. And then for those of us who God has placed a burden on our heart, you know, we run for office. So I'm running for borough president in Brooklyn at this time right now, looking forward to what's going to happen in 2021. So I think that it's an interesting time to be involved in what is happening. And in these United States where you feel a shift taking place in the atmosphere, something like I have never felt before in my lifetime. When I was out at the Barclays those several weeks ago, feeling that we're in a season where people are really beginning to take us seriously and not just you know, give us lip service, but begin the work. And so when we have these types of moments, our preparedness is key. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of legislative reform that's been on the table in New York, and that we've been able to push forward, you know, through the state. And now we're working towards some things that we can do at the city level. So I think there's so many different arms and so many different things that need to happen around social justice and around civil rights. And I think that now is the time, and that God has raised up a generation of people who will not ashamed and who will not back down and who will continue to move forward. So I can pause right there.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Counsel. And I thank you, Dr. Avante Elliott. Let me first say I am a advocate of protest to politic. Dr. Avante Elliott is a council member of one of our local municipalities here in the St. Louis Metroplex. And so she's leading the way in so many regards and leading our Democratic Party here. And she's the president of the Board of Aldermen, for that municipality, and just doing great work. And Reverend Council is too, just leading the way. And did y'all hear? She's running for borough president. So that's equivalent to what a mayor is in most cities. And so congratulations, hats off to you. And we support you, woman of God. We support both of you, our future mayor, Dr. Avante Elliott. I think I'll plug that. And so we're so excited to what the Lord is going to do in the life of both of you. Let me first say to you all, this social justice work has became part of my life, but how I got in it, first of all, I grew up born and raised in Mississippi, so I knew segregation all of my life. I remember as a kid, they had just began to start merging schools together, so the white school and the black school. And by the time I got to middle school in the 90s, they decided to part the schools again. And so I was like, what is happening? You know, so all of my white friends had now left the school, and they created a school just for whites. And that had been my entire life. And I moved to another county in Mississippi, and there was always segregation of that county, that it was the blacks versus the whites. And so it was something that I grew up, but we knew racism existed, but it was a very silent thing. So black people was on one side of town, white people was on the other side of town. You knew it existed. You knew the segregation was real, but you just kind of stayed in your corner. You stayed silent. You left it alone. I never heard the word nigger growing up, honestly. So just kind of you stay, the white folks stay to themselves, the black folks stay to themselves, we good. And we all shop in the same grocery stores, but we stayed in our circles and in our corners. And when I decided to come here to St. Louis, Missouri, first I went to Boston to go to school. And then, of course, school was just a bit much for me there, so I decided to get transferred to SLU. And I met a young guy who was my roommate, of course, and we decided to go to what would be called classified in our city as a diner. Many of you all have those in your cities. And we were at the diner, and I share the story often. And while we were at the diner, I sat down to eat, you know, as a normal person would do. And me and him began to converse. And I'm looking in the diner, and many people are coming in and out, getting their food, and they're gone. After we're sitting there for about 45 minutes, I then say, okay, now listen, this is a bit much for me. I said, you need to go tell her, come see us, you know, come take our order. You know, and so I'm trying to be really professional, and I'm a little, I get a little anxious every now and again. And so at that moment, I says, okay. So he came back to me, and he says, she made the statement that she would not serve us as long as that nigger is sitting with you. And so, of course, At this moment, I'm ready to, in the young people words, I'm ready to amp. I'm ready to turn up. I'm ready to just kind of lose it, you know. And I'm saying, Lord, I need to respond in a way that I don't go to jail right now. And so what I did, I began to formulate something on campus, a race, you know, it was the group was called Stands Against Racism. And so it was about a lot of the white kids didn't want to join it because some of the black kids joined it, of course. It was about maybe 30. This was in the early 2000s. Of course, well before any of Ferguson's, any of this ever happened. So we decided to do that. That same restaurant closed down. And, of course, does not have new ownership and all those kind of things. I would then go on to my second piece. I would drive around this city, go in Baldwin, and you go in Chesterfield, and I would get pulled over and never could understand why I'm getting pulled over. My license are good. I've not ever had a criminal record. My car is good, but I get pulled over. It depends on there is a such thing as driving while black, and I had to understand that. And it is something that you, as a black man, we don't know if we have to make it home at nighttime. And so that was that when I moved to St. Louis, thinking I'm leaving racism in Mississippi, but I came to Missouri and found it even more prevalent. And so having to tell myself that when the police pulled me over, try my best not to react or respond in such a way so that I can live and tell the story again. And so, but I've even been in cases where, again, an unarmed black man driving someone who is a preacher and having a gun pulled on him and told me if I make another move, I'd be killed. You know, hearing those things. So when we hear stories, so when you hear of African-American young people, and this is not even my notes, so I don't know why I went in this direction. But as you see African-American men getting killed, many times in the beginning of the Stands in Ferguson, people were like, oh, those black kids, they was doing something. They was this. And you could just be standing. You could be silent. And because this racist a cop who feel as if he has power over you, and he's already dealing with his issues of racism that he has not yet even confronted, or who's and feeling as if he has power and superior over us. And so one of the issues that we have to deal with is that when your black son or your black daughter leave your house, it is sad that we have to teach our children how to respond when a cop is pulling them over. And how not to, you know, get out your car, how not to put your hand down, put your hands up on a steering wheel, put your hands outside the window, just so that you can live to tell the story. We hear stories of Sandra Bland and all of them, Breonna Taylor. And even now, of course, we've seen, many of you all are following the story of Breonna Taylor. A girl was in her room, in her house, in her home, killed. Over 20 shots fired over into her home. So that means your house is not even safe. And then to say that it was a mistake and the officer is 90% probably won't even be charged. That's what we deal with as African Americans. And so if a black person, all we ask is that the same level of accountability that you give if a black person shoot another black person, that same accountability should be given to that officer who shot and killed an unarmed civilian. Because hear this, this is our country. We pay taxes here. And just this country was built on the backs of our ancestors, slaves. This country belongs to us as equal citizens. And so we should not have to walk in fear, live in fear. And to, you know, I don't know about you all, but when a police even drive behind me, again, I just said to you, I have no criminal record, but I get extremely nervous and have done it all my entire life. And it's what we deal with as African Americans, hoping that we can live to tell the story. And so I want you all not to be silent. As Dr. Avant Elliott and Reverend Council said, we cannot be silent concerning these issues that are quickly arising in our community. And we have to stand up and make a statement against the injustices that are happening, because the whole system is guilty. They make a statement on the protest line, and for those who are who may not like this word, forgive me in a moment, but they said the whole damn system is guilty as hell, meaning the whole system, everything that was built in this country is built on the backs of our ancestors. But we, as mothers, and I'm talking to the women tonight, that we have to be able to cover our children in prayer, because I believe, I don't know about you all, but I still believe in the power of prayer, and prayer yet still work. Hallelujah. And so what I'm saying tonight is that we have to cover our babies in prayer, and we have to instruct our children what to do, how to respond. But I want to challenge you, do not be silent as it relates to George Floyd's and Michael Brown's and Breonna Taylor's and Sandra Bland's and Ka'Jaimie Powell, Kerry Bowles. The list goes on. And every day, as an African-American, my heart grieves so much to hear the many stories. I was in Washington, D.C. just last week, and what a mother talked about, she said her 80-year-old father was at home with her son, a son who had never had a criminal record in his life, was shot down and killed in his living room. Had never been in trouble. And you know what? When they went to court, the police who testified said that he looked like someone they were looking for. And so they had been watching his house, had never been in trouble. And that same police officer was acquitted. We had here in our own city, Anthony Lamar Smith case, happened in 2017. In our very city, the police officer planted a gun, named Jason Stockley, planted a gun on an unarmed African-American and tried to accuse him of shooting at him, and put in, and you know, they have a dash cam, and on the dash cam, he said, "I'm going to get him." And those are the issues we suffer with in our country. And so I want us to take a stand, the wailing women. And I believe, as Reverend Council just so eloquently spoke and said, that it was the church that the civil rights movement was birthed out of. And I just believe that it is the church that's going to pray us through this time of injustice, this time of war, this time of weeping, because I believe that it's something about the women, that when you call women together, I used to hear a phrase, they said, when women get tired, the world gets tired. It's something about when a woman says she's fed up. Something about when a woman cries the tears of a woman. And I just want to say to the women tonight is that we need you to push us through this. Push your sons, push your nephews, push your husbands, push them out of it, your brothers. Because hear this, it lies on the inside of you. And hear me, the women as well, because it is our daughters, Breonna Taylor, to say her name. There are so many, Kim Randall, so many that continues. Even the women now are being attacked at an all-time high. So we need our wailing mothers. We need you. And I want to say this in my close, and I'm getting ready to be done, that the work is never done. It continues over and over again, as we see even in this country, even in this pandemic, how black and brown the all-time high evictions that are happening even now, that are being evicted out of homes, even though, of course, that was a statement issued that no evictions will happen until further notice. But it's been happening in our community. Other communities have resources. I talked to a friend of mine in Chesterfield, who's a very elite area in this city, and he said, there's some actual funding in our areas to help us from not losing our homes. And he said that the neighborhood communities have funding to give to every homeowner. But in our African-American communities, that's not the case. You may go to the Urban League and apply for one time or Salvation Army, but that's nothing that to pay your rent or your mortgage for 9 months. And these are works that have to be brought to our community. So, Bishop Lackland, I'm not going to belabor the time, but I want to thank you for this opportunity. And I want you all to know that this work is real. This work is real. And racism, I never thought it existed. And I knew it existed, but I didn't thought it was relevant. Let me say it that way. In the sense of growing up, I just thought, white folk just don't like black folk. I never thought it was racism until, of course, was taught. But we just, as African-Americans, we are the quickest and we're the quickest people to forgive anybody. You can hurt us and we'll forgive you in 2 seconds. It's a part of our nature. And so we're hurt. We're tired. And we're fed up. And there's a chant that says we're fed up and we're tired of it and we can't take it no more. And that's what our mothers are tired of it and we can't take it no more. Thank you, Bishop, for this opportunity to talk about social injustices that are happening across our land and country. And I appreciate you for having the heart to know that this is real. And we love you, woman of God.
Oh, we love you, Bishop. Thank you so much. We're so humbled and honored that you took out time of your busy schedule, and also Dr. Elliott and Reverend Council. And maybe someone has a question for you all. Do you have a few moments to stay with us? And Bishop, I was thinking about what's a great man of God you are that know who you are and whose you are, and how the Lord birthed the women of destiny in your spirit. Because to me, the first act of social injustice was against the woman Eve, when the enemy came and he beguiled her and stripped her of her dignity, of her purpose. And then she gave birth to a murderer. Yes, a murderer. Yeah. And as I was thinking about it, how somebody might say, well, Eve, she was a white woman. No, she wasn't. If we check the record, the first man God built was a black man. And I don't know if you heard our current president. He said that if he had the opportunity to come back, he would want to come back as an intelligent black man. Because I don't think God built any man stronger and wiser and more knowledgeable than a black man. A black man can endure. He can take. He can hop. He can take it. Oh, Bishop, I'm telling you, and when we take a look at you, sharing your experience as a black man, that's what we need. We need our black men to speak out. This happened to me. I'm not going to put that young black man down just because the white man wants me to, but I know what a black brother has gone through. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name.
Yes.
And so because it's a spirit. Racism is a spirit.
Yes.
We're not born racist. We're not born prejudiced, but it's learned behavior. It's something that has been taught. And even when Cain, when he rose up against his brother, the first murder that's ever recorded in scripture, he rose up against his baby brother, Bishop. That was his baby brother, the one that admired him and looked up to him and wanted to be like him. But he killed him. And then comes along Pharaoh. kill all of the male children. So the devil is out of our, after our men. But we Llewellyn women, like you said, Bishop, enough is enough. These are our children. They are due the respect just like anybody else's children. We're not asking for a handout. We're not asking for no favor. But we're asking that our children be treated the same as the white children are treated. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Because there's no other children better than our children. God is an equal opportunity God. He loves us all, and chance and time happen to us all. He gives us all an opportunity. But us Llewellyn women, Bishop, thank God for you for birthing this women of destiny and knowing that women are just as important. I think it was Dr. Elliott said about they had the march or the protest about say her name when Eve messed up. Adam didn't even call her by her name. He said, this woman. Come on. This woman that you gave me, God, you know. And so now we're rising up as women and men of God and saying our black women matter. Yes, we do. Hallelujah. And we got to get out and vote. We can sit back and talk all we want to, but we got to vote. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I'm sorry, Bishop, baby. Oh, God. But I'm just saying, enough is enough.
You know, Bishop,
yes, sir.
And enough is enough, and we have to. And listen, I love protesting. I think it's necessary. But we have to protest our way to the polls. And we really, in this season, with what this climate we're in, is going to be very important, us as pastors, us as mothers, as his fathers, we have to really push our children, our communities, in whatever groups we're part of. We have to really push this election that, listen, go and vote for change. Here's what let me tell you real quick for those who may not understand, and I believe most of us on this line understand the power in voting. There was over a 50-year dynasty happened, and Dr. Ivani Elliott is a witness of this, and Bishop Lackland, in our city, I'm to my 50 years of one family having an office in Congress. And because when African-American people get tired, I just want to tell you, when communities get tired and they're saying, listen, we're not just going to be silent on the sideline just to make your name great. But we, because see, that's only one name that heaven recognized. That's what Bishop Lackland told me. And I believe it. I know it already. But but there is literally, and as a result of the voting happening this past August, we were able to elect Cori Bush as she'll be the first black woman in this city to ever win to Congress. And can I tell you all? When we get tired, when we say enough is enough, those people who they said did not go to the poll, they all just protesting. Those protesters went to the polls and changed the dynasty. That's all we have to do. So we don't have to be afraid of what it looked like, what it seemed like. We have the power to shift this current climate that we're in at this moment. Thank you, Bishop.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. And you know, the Lord said he'll allow what you allow. If we allow this current president to stay in office, God will allow it. Amen. So the power is in our hand. You know, we put those masks on. We go take me out to the ball game. We go shopping. We do all of this. So, hey, go out to the polls. Praise God, because they're already talking about that some of your mail-in ballots may not work because if the signature is not matching. They got something for everything. But the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And if we stand together as a people, oh, my God, Bishop, unity, it's a beautiful thing, and it's a God thing, and it's also a powerful thing. So I'm just appealing to all of us that have heard our bishop, that have heard Dr. Elliott and Reverend Council on tonight sharing with us about social justice, you know, because all of us should be treated equally. Oh, bless his name. And Bishop, I know you probably still have some static, some confusion when even in the fellowship, when you put women in leadership roles. Come on, somebody can talk to me, you know, because, you know, if you don't know who you are, then you're intimidated. You're threatened by somebody else. But we have a bishop, praise God, hallelujah. We have a bishop that knows who he is, and he recognized the call of God upon the life of women. Hallelujah. God did. We were not an afterthought or a second thought of God. We were there all the time. We were right in the heart of God all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he didn't put us behind Adam. He didn't put us under Adam's feet. He took us out of the side to walk together as one. No more twain, but one flesh. So we just give God the glory. Bishop, we thank you. We appreciate you for your leadership and for your love of people. Hallelujah. I kind of think of you as our current day Malcolm X. You know what I'm saying? You out there, you're lifting your voice, and you ain't scared of nobody. You ain't even scared of the devil out of hell, in hell, or around hell. You ain't scared of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we give God glory. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. So does any of our audience have any questions for our bishop, Dr. Elliott, or for Reverend Council at this time? Oh, praise the Lord. That means that you all covered everything. Amen. So, and you know, what?
I'm sorry. I know we're talking about voting and making sure that people are registered to vote, but I also want to encourage you. I don't know what your numbers are like down in Missouri and Mississippi, but to make sure that you fill out the census. We only have a few more days left, and you know that determines the number of representations in the House of Representatives. It also determines the resources that flow into our community. So it's very important, and you know if we're sticking close to the Word of God. Even Mary and Joseph went to fill out the census when they were giving birth to Jesus. They went down to Bethlehem to be counted. So we want to make sure that we are counted so that we are getting all the resources that we deserve. So if you have not filled out your census, we only have until September 30th. So in addition to registering to vote, I just want to encourage everybody to make sure you fill out your census.
So much for that. Mm-hmm. And Bishop, you know, I got a phone call from a young pastor, a young minister in the fellowship. And he said they called us the N-word. And I could feel the pain in his spirit when he said that to me. And I said, young man, I see you be encouraged. I said, because it's not what they call you, but it's what you answer to. You got to know who you are, despite how people put you down and talk you down and walk you down. You got to know within yourself that you're somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, Bishop, I'm getting emotional, you know, because I love my black men. I'm telling you, I love all people. Don't get me wrong. I love all people, but I love my black men because they're so strong. They're so gifted, and God's hand is upon them. And a lot of them, Bishop, they just need to hear your voice. They just need to know that, yes, you are somebody, man of God, without a title, without a position. You are still somebody in our eyesight, and more importantly, in the eyesight of God. Hallelujah. You're more than a conqueror. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone else? Hallelujah.
This is Dr. Yvonne Elliott. I just want to say, share what the protesters would say. They said, we have nothing to lose but our chains. And so the Word of God, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We have all we need through Christ to fight against adversity and injustices and be able to overcome all of the attacks of the enemy. But we have to be mindful of that word fear, because if we trust God and we believe what he says, then we know that everything will be okay and things will get done through his power and through his might. And so whatever it is that causes individuals to be hesitant, to get involved, fear, lack of concern, apathy, move that aside, because God has called us in this season to be his voice. We're just vessels. So a part of being a vessel is doing the work of God. And so if you want to be his child and you want to take on the responsibilities that he wants us to have on this earth, then you allow him to guide you to get things done. So you may not be a protester. You might be a writer. So write your legislator. Tell them of what's going on. Go to meetings. Have conversations. Get a seat at the table. There's something for everybody. Because as the members of the body of Christ, we all have a place. We have our feet to walk, our hands to lend a hand, our mouth to speak, and our eyes to see. So he's given us all that we need in this season to get things done. But we must remove fear in order to be successful. And as you talked about the situation in the Bible with admiration and killing, just think about it. We are an admired people. We have been taught to believe that we were less, all the while we were being admired. All the while we were being admired for our lips, for our different features, for our talents and abilities. So the oppression has only been because there has been admiration for what we have and fear that we will realize who we are. So realize who you are today in Christ. Move forward, be bold, and know that God has your back. And fear is nothing but a reality in your mind. And that's all I have to say.
Amen. Thank you so very much. Praise God. So, you know, the devil, I know he's mad tonight, Bishop, because, you know, all of us on this call, our guests tonight, are men and women of God. And how you all have come together to speak to the world at large and let us know it's time out. It's time out. It's time for us to take a stance, you know, against this injustice that's going on in our society. And I tell you, we got some wailing women. and you know, we got some wailing men, too, because, you know, I done heard some men, particularly our bishop, you know, he reached the throne of grace. I ain't worried about nobody just praying. I want to know, can you reach glory? Hallelujah. And so I'm telling you about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're dealing with some strongholds in this generation. But the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So, Bishop, you got some kids, and they gonna have some kids. So we got to make it better for them. Hallelujah. We got to get on the front line. We got to get on our knees and pray. We got to tell them about the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Praise. Ooh, I'm excited tonight. Ooh, bless God. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we certainly don't want to hold you all. And Dr. Elliot, let me know when you're running, woman of God. Praise God. Bishop said the next mayor. So we give God glory. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Jesus told
Amen. God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says you have what you say.
Yeah.
You have not because you ask not. So it's time for us to start asking the Father for what we want, you know? What do you want God to do for you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Talk is cheap. Yes, it is. Talk is cheap. But we going to do it, Bishop, because we've been seeing you on the front line, and sometimes I see, oh, God, the blood keep our Bishop. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
It takes a bold soldier. Amen. Praise God. And we give you a young man. Hallelujah. Come on, Bishop. You got something to say. I know you do.
Well, praise the Lord. Again, we're excited, Bishop, and we certainly thank you for this awesome opportunity. And listen, I want to just encourage us. The census is here. Let's support that. Let's do what we can to make our voices heard. And as Dr. Von Elliott said, don't live in fear. Move out of the box. Because hear this, it's out of the box where you find safety. You find who you really are, because it's when you don't get to the place of unfamiliar when you have to find out how to get out. And so I want to say, just step out of the box and find who you are, and not just get comfortable where you are. Because hear this, your voice, your cry will change a nation. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Reverend Counsel or Dr. Elliott, do you have any final remarks for us? We're so grateful that you came.
I just thank you for inviting me, and I thank the Bishop for the opportunity. It is such a blessing to be a part of talking about things that you're passionate about and educating others. And I just hope that a seed has been planted for others to want to be involved in different ways than they may have before. And so I'm just looking forward to the change that comes as a result of a seed being planted. So I thank you once again for this opportunity.
Amen.
Yeah, I just want to thank you so much, Bishop Lackland and Bishop Robinson and Dr. We're in the season where God is beginning to shift things for our favor. So I'm thankful for the men and women of God who have prayed for us and who have been in the way of their blood, sweat, and tears. And I thank God for the divine connection that even in this pandemic, we can connect virtually and still give God glory.
Oh,
Counsel, if you're talking, mute your phone, please. Thank you so much. Were you finished, Reverend Counsel? I'm sorry about the interruption.
Sorry, I just want to thank everybody for the opportunity to share. Thank you for the divine connection, and pray God continues to be with us and keep us as we continue to speak truth to power. And we thank God that He is preparing a generation that is not ashamed of who He is. And we will protest when we see injustice, and we will stand together and united to make sure that our children and our children's children will inherit a better world. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so very much. We're so humbled and honored. And we would love for you all to come back, preferably next month, the closer we get to voting, you know, just to remind people how important it is to cast your vote, you know, and make a difference in our society for this generation and for the generations to come. And we thank you so much. Amen. Praise God. We got about a half an hour left. Praise God. So if I know you all are busy, if you have to go, we understand, but you're more than welcome to stay on online and share with us. Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, we got to know that we are warring against the enemy. We're not fighting flesh and blood. You know, we're warring against spiritual wickedness in high places and principalities and all of that type of thing. Because Jeremiah, he said, call for those well and women, call for women who don't mind sweating, who don't mind their makeup running and their hair going back. Yeah, you just got your hair done, but those well and women, they don't care because they got to cover their babies. You know, we got to cover our sons and our daughters, our husbands and our granddad. Praise the Lord. And Bishop, you said it was an 80-year-old grandfather that his grandson was killed in front of him.
Yes, ma'am.
My God. You know, just imagine the trauma that put that granddad in. So we got to pray for them, our nephews, our cousins, you know, even our friends. We got to lift up these men of God and keep them covered because they are the seed carriers. And that's why the devil is after the men. But what he doesn't realize is because Bishop, once I went to jail, I had service at a jail, and one of the inmates, he said, I had a problem with a woman having a baby without a man. I said, well, if you think that's something, how did God build a man without a woman? Is there anything too hard for our God? Hallelujah. But he's after the men because he knows that the men are the seed carriers. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. God even killed two brothers for spilling their seed on the ground. For those of us that want to abort that baby in the womb, it's murder. Yes, it is. It is murder. So we got to repent as a people, and we got to fall on our face and on our knees and ask God to deliver us. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm excited, Bishop. Come on, somebody. Praise God.
Yes, ma'am.
Anybody?
This is Overseer Faith. This is Overseer Faith, Bishop Blackman. I just wanted to say to encourage everyone to vote, your young people, the elderly people, even, you know, with this society today, they use a lot of social media. So text your son, text your grandson, text your nephew, even text grandma. You'll be amazed who's texting, who's on social media. Also, listen to you all tonight, I went to my Facebook page and I put it on there to my family and another page I have. I encourage everyone to register to vote. I am registered. Respond. Are you registered? If not, get registered tonight. Get registered in the morning. But get registered because voting makes a difference. Everyone wants to talk politics and say this and say that. But are you registered? Are you a voter? We have to inform them, and not only inform them, but stay on them. Go out and register. And after you register, go out and vote because it makes all the difference in the world. God bless everyone.
Amen. Praise God. And voting is of God, because when the people wanted a king, they had a choice between God and Saul, and they voted for Saul. Praise the Lord. So it's of God, and it's praise God. Hallelujah. So we just give God the glory on tonight. Anyone else before we get off? Anyone else? Now is your time. Our bishop is here. He's taking out time. Dr. Elliott is here. Reverend Council is here. Amen. To me, they are like the professionals. They are the educators of social justice. So now is our time. And thank you, Overseer Pate, for doing that. And that's what we've got to do. Anyone
Amen.
Else?
Amen. Yes, this is Elder Pate. I have a question for Bishop and Councilman, because I've been talking to a lot of young people, and, you know, I'm encouraging them, telling them that we have a right to vote. You know, you have a right our ancestors went through. But a lot of them feel discouraged. So I'd like to know, what would you say to those that feel discouraged, that, you know, they don't see the change, because they say, I voted and then nothing happened and nothing's really changed, you know? So what would you say to those young people that are discouraged right now, Bishop Robertson?
I would say that change that down through the years, we haven't, I know for a long period, until I start voting, I really didn't think voting was necessary, because I felt like, you know, people, whoever was going to win was pre-chosen. But I can't talk about for the national level, but I still encourage national voting. But local voting is so important because it does work. Our vote does count, and voting does matter. And so I would encourage them to just try again and to don't, I know many people don't trust the system, but try your vote and trust the people who look like, I can't even say look like you, I could say represent you, people who've been in the trenches with you, people who have been in the streets with you, people who have allowed their voices to be heard. And those are the people I would say put your trust in, people who smell like community, people who look like community, and who don't just show up to ask you for your vote once every 2 years or once every 4 years.
And Bishop, if I can add to that, because I've registered a lot of youth to vote, but you can't just register them. You have to also educate them. And so the first step is to get them registered. So because of technology, they can pull out their phone and you can help them with the process right then and there. So that eliminates the initial barrier that they may have. I don't know how. I don't know anything about the process. That eliminates the immediate barrier if they do it in your presence and you can educate them on what happens next so that they are aware. I had a student, she is now in her 20s, and she said, "This seems embarrassing, but how do you vote?" And I said, "No, that's not an embarrassing question. This is what you need to do. This is how you find your polls." A lot of our children are not in homes where they see regular voting, regular voters in their home. And so they don't have a culture for voting because of what they see in their communities. So if you can get them registered on the spot, get them educated, and challenge them by going to the polls with them, picking them up, saying, "Let's go. Today is the day. We're going to vote." Then they get a chance to experience the process and begin to take on the responsibility as a citizen to vote. And if by chance the person that they voted for wins, definitely that's going to encourage them and boost their confidence, but they have to have made an informed decision on the candidate as well. So I think education is key. And once you educate them on a topic that's of interest of theirs, money is of interest to children. I get children to move past barriers related to math when I talk about money. So if you talk about minimum wage and you ask them the question, "Well, do you think that that's fair? You know, do you think that's enough?" If they don't think it's enough and they understand that their vote could change that minimum wage, that may be something that will prompt them to want to vote based on that interest. So we have to connect them to their interest. Is there something happening in your neighborhood that you don't like? And so as we connect them to real life experiences, then they will have the mindset and the understanding to go forth and vote. I spoke with a group of students, and the young man said, why do the police always ticket us because of our grass?" And I said, "Well, it's likely that your neighbor is reporting that you're in violation of an ordinance. So the police is not picking on you. You're in violation of something. And because you don't know, you just automatically assume that that's the issue." So knowledge is power. The more we educate our children and give them the tools, because a lot of them do not come equipped with the tools that they need, no matter how old they are. They can be in their 20s. They can be in their teens. They don't have the tools they need to navigate that process on their own. So you have to do a little bit of hand-holding in order for them to experience the process and for it to be normalized and consistent for them. And they understand that they don't develop a pattern of just voting for the election like some adults do now. There are so many adults that vote only for presidential elections, and all the issues that they incur in their communities is from them not voting at the local level. So we have to teach them how to vote, how to research candidates, and make a good decision. So I hope that was helpful for you.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Pate. Excellent question. Thank you, Bishop. Amen. And was that Dr. Elliott? I'm trying to learn your voice.
Yes.
Yes, amen. Thank you so much. Oh, no, that's quite all right. And I think someone said earlier about knowing who you are and how we are so admired, as a people. And I thought about how growing up as a young Black girl, I was often put down because I was so Black. And I thought it was something really bad. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I'm so black, you know, because people always talked about me. And then God delivered me. He delivered me. I saw in this scripture where the man of God said, I'm black, but comely. I'm black, but I'm good looking. You know, I'm black, but I'm beautiful. And I had to find out that God made me the color he wanted me to be, you know, fearfully and wonderfully made. So just to encourage people to think that you're not good enough, you're not cute enough, you're not thin enough, you're not educated enough, you know, it doesn't take all of that to vote and to know that you matter. We say your life, what you say, Bishop, black lives matter. Yes, they do.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes,
black votes matter. My mom left here. She was 91 years old. And before she left the last election, she called me at work. She said, "Where you coming to take me to vote, aren't you?" Yes, she, I'm on my way, Mom. You know, I had to help walk her in, but she said, "I'm going to vote." So we got to vote. And like I said, maybe next month, Bishop, with your permission, maybe we can come back on and give people tools. Because like Dr. Elliott said, some people just don't know. There are even some people that are an adult and can't even read. You know, so we got to help one another, to show one another, not put down one another, but to uplift each other. Amen. Praise God. Because I know God is going to move. Yes, he is. He's going to move because he hears the cries of his people and he will deliver us. Hallelujah. Even when the vote was cast. Amen. When the vote, you know, Bishop, out on a hill called Calvary, the vote was cast. And they said, "Who do you want? Who do you want? You want Barabbas or do you want Jesus?" Amen. And the lot was cast. And they picked Barabbas. Hallelujah. So the lot is being cast, people of God. Who we going to pick? Who we going to choose? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
I have one more question for the speaker tonight. Where do you find the information on all of those judges that be on the vote? Because, you know, we need to, well, I like to be more informed about those judges, you know, instead of them just getting in there by the slim. I don't know much about them. Where do you find information in reference to the judges that are on the
I don't know if you have internet access. There are a lot of websites that are out. There's a vote411.com. There is iwillvote.com, and if you go to iwillvote.com, that website will tell you, it'll connect you when you put in your state to the Board of Elections for your state. There's also a link that you can click where you can find your registration status, register to vote, and there's also a link that will give you notifications of upcoming elections and who's on the ballot. So there are a couple of different websites that you can go to. Vote411.com or iwillvote.com to get information about local elections and other things about around voting.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
and
you.
And the other thing to consider, oftentimes the judges get reviews from their peers. And so one of the elections we had, an individual was unseated because she had a lot of bad reviews from her peers and people, and through that, people unseated her. They didn't know much about that particular judge, but it was so many bad reviews from their peers that was enough for them. So if you go to Bar Association websites that talk about, you know, how they get evaluated in their current role as judge and what their peers say and what the challenges or deficiencies they may have, then you can be more informed about those judges. How have they handled cases? Do it seem to be fair? So you want to look for practices of equality and what some of the reviews say, because you may have some reviews that may be biased, maybe towards the African-American judge in particular or towards a woman. So you're going to have to decipher whether or not that is true and what the history of practice that person has as it relates to the cases that may have come before them.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Overseer Pate. Excellent question. Any more questions or comments?
Mr. Blackwood.
Yeah.
This is Overseer. I have a question. I'm not sure who to direct it to, but as a leader in the kingdom of God, how do we help our African American men and women who are felons? How do we? What advice would you give? Because you know, some of them, especially the ones that I deal with, are youth. They're classified as felons. So, how do we help them become viable voters? What kind of programs are there out there, or what can we do to help them, you know, become registered voters and so forth?
So for each state, you will have to make sure and find out what has been waived around their ability to vote and go through the same processes, as I mentioned before, with the education, the direct application process and assistance to them, and helping them to understand the benefit of voting and how to get it done. So it's all about getting them comfortable with knowing how to do it, what the outcome means for them personally. I think as we make connections with their reality, that is what will help drive their situation. So they were incarcerated. They were incarcerated because of a law that said, because of this act, this is the consequence. And maybe even if they did not perform the act and they were truly not guilty, they have to understand and make that connection with laws and their ability to change those laws by voting, having a voice, writing letters, speaking up. That's where you have to make the connection and actually facilitate the process with them so they can be successful. But the laws of their state around what felons can, whether or not they can vote, will be the driving force to getting them on that path. But even so, if they cannot vote, you have to help them as citizens understand the other ways that they can advocate for change by attending meetings, being informed, sitting on committees. So if you can sit on any committee as a citizen, like a youth board, planning and zoning, there are things you can do that they do not require a background check. So you have to help them find and connect to an interest, and so then they can advocate around that particular interest and kind of go from there. Everything is about making a connection to their reality so they can be successful with being a good citizen in that regard.
So if I could add to what you're saying, Dr. Elliott, so a couple of pieces. Number one, most states, I'm not sure about Missouri, but once you are off supervision, even if you have a felony, I don't know for sure about Missouri, you can then apply to that state to have your right to vote reinstated. But as Dr. Elliott was saying, you know, this could be one of the things that motivates you to get involved, to let your voice be heard, to run for office, to be involved in what's going on. And those who do not have felonies, your friends and your family members who are not necessarily in the system, they need to register to vote so that they could serve on jury, because it's the jury also that has a say in sentencing and other things. It's the judge, it's the lawyers, but it's also the jury. So if we're registered to vote and participating in that process, then we are called on for jury duty service, and we can't deny that or not go to jury duty service. But you know, people are tried before a jury of their peers. And so if we register to vote and we participate in the jury process, then we'll have a say in the justice system. So we have to figure out how to explain it to them as plainly as this will impact every aspect of your life. And then also, again, you know, like those of us who can vote, you know, bearing in mind that when we're looking at who's running for office, so many of us did not vote in 2016 because we were frustrated about what was going on. But the current administration has appointed 198 judges to sit on the federal court that will serve for life. And so and none of them are people of color. So when we are looking at these types of things, you know, we're looking at personalities, but what we need to be looking at is short-term, long-term things. And as Dr. Elliott said, we have to make sure that we make it as plain and as relatable as we possibly can.
Just quickly, I just found the site. It's called procon.org, procon.org, and it has state felon voting laws, and it speaks to what has to happen or what happens around voting for felons. So procon.org is the resource, and that will help you facilitate what the laws are related to that in the particular state that you're in.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you all so very much. Praise God. And, you know, I've shared with the bishop once that Bishop has so much. He's so gifted from God being in his life and have chosen him for this generation. He says to us sometime, I forgot who he said this, but he said that you ought to die on empty. I forgot who he said, but that's what
Dr.
he told
E.K.
us.
Dr. E.K. Bailey.
Yes, thank you, Bishop.
Dr. E.K. Bailey,
Yeah, and so I shared with him not too long ago, I believe that he should have his own school. Kingdom Destiny Fellowship International Institute or school or whatever, because he has so much to offer, not only to KDFI, but to the world at large. And so many people are computer illiterate. They can't, like I said earlier, they can't read. They don't know about voting, the ins and outs. And then it would open up so many jobs for people. So I just want us to pray that Bishop, I'm not trying to push anything on you, but I just feel that there should be a school, in his name, in the fellowship's name, that we can reach the community, you know, to prepare them. It is our responsibility to train up a child in the way that he should go. And oftentimes the church, even especially now during this pandemic, the church can't do it all. But we do have religious institutes, and I believe that KDFI should be one of them. So that, you know, Bishop, you can rebuke me, but I just feel that, that he has so much to offer. Praise God. It just, I mean, I don't care what kind of genre he's in, he excels in it. And God has gifted him like that. He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. And so to me, that's what he has done with our presiding bishop. He's blessed him to be a blessing to people. So that is one of our prayers, willing women, that we want to pray that this thing will be birthed. And I tell you, I'm excited about Dr. Elliott and Reverend Council, that God is going to take them even higher as women of color. Amen. Somebody that we can trust, because I don't believe Bishop brings crooks. You know, I just trust his judgment, that he knows the character of people. And so we're lifting them up as well, and their families. Amen. And finances. You know, that's another thing that we got to pray for. And, you know, sometimes we don't like to talk about money, but I don't care how often he goes to the gas station. They ain't going to say, go ahead, Bishop, fill up. You ain't got to pay. No, I don't think they tell him that, you know. So it takes money to operate. It takes money to educate. So we want to pray that the windows of heaven will be open unto him. So he'll have lack of nothing, so there will be no stress or worry upon his life, that he won't have to ask men, but they'll give into his bosom. Do I have an amen, somebody? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, sometimes we so much about me, myself, and I, but if you focus on somebody else, you know, and bless somebody else. God, he already got you covered because your heart is right. And so I just thank God. This has been so educational, so informative, and inspirational. I'm telling you, I've learned so much about social justice on tonight that I did not know. And so I'm just grateful that Bishop has given us the opportunity, and certainly, hopefully, this will not be our last time coming together as the people of God. And look how, Bishop, just look how it flowed. Amen. Just peace, just, you know, in sequence. And, oh, my God, I just give God the glory for it. Anyone else at this time?
It was really awesome.
Yes, sir, Bishop. We thank you so much. Hallelujah. Anyone else? We got less than 10 minutes to go.
Hello, Marie. Bishop Marie Lackham. This is Mother Ann.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't want him to think hard of me, but I think we should have a school like that because there's so many of us out here that do not know too much about the voting and everything, and they kind of have that fear not to go out and vote, or they have that, might have had some kind of experience or something like that. I don't know. But I know my last time I went out to vote, the lady stopped me because I didn't vote on the last two judges because I actually didn't want to vote on the last two judges, you know, the judges and everything like that. And so she says, well, you can't send your ballot through until you vote on the last two judges. So I said, well, where that came from, you know. But anyway, I went on back, and I said, I'm going to be, a good citizen or whatever and do what she say and everything because you have to, you know, you always tell us to make sure you be a good follower. So I said, well, let me go be this good follower for the day, you know. So I did what I had to do, and then I went on through and everything and stuff. So, but, you know, like Reverend Pate was talking about the judges, if you don't know too much about the judges, then, okay, why do, you know, you just put something down and you've been put something down, you don't know what you're doing, you see what I'm saying? So that's why I think we should have the school, you know, for people like that to help them to go and learn how to do more, because this is a serious time right now, it really is. And that's what I have
Amen.
To say about that.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mother Ange. We appreciate that. Praise God.
Well, can I share with the mother? This is Dr. Yvonne Elliott. Mother,
yes,
sometimes you're gonna have to go to wise counsel when it comes to voting. So you have to ask the individuals you trust that may have a greater interest in that and know how to research, and you say, okay, I trust you. I know you research. I know you know if it's your elected official, if it's your mayor. Sometimes you have to go to them and ask, you know, who do they recommend if you don't know or haven't done your research, and if they are worthy researchers, then, you know, you will be okay. Because sometimes it's the better of evils, honestly. In regards to some politicians. And so you have to be prayerful and use some discernment and ask the right people who may do the research. I've had to do that this season where I may have advised my grandmother, since I'm now in the political world, I know character and I know different individuals and how they vote on things and so forth. And so I've had to provide guidance where a person said, I just don't know. You know, what do you know about this person? And you know, that may be the way that you can at least get someone somewhat qualified than what it would be if you didn't vote at all. Additionally, you know, I have advocated for people to use that slot that says a write-in, you know. So if there's an area that you're just not that confident in and there is a write-in option, put Jesus there. It won't matter because a write-in person has to be registered in a certain length of time. But it's almost like not voting for that person at all if you do a write-in. So it's best as much as possible to do the 411s and find out some type of biographical information about that person. So you can make a sound vote. A lot of people don't make a decision until they get a handout at the poll. So we've had very interesting voter patterns and behaviors. Some people research. Some people, if you're at the poll handing out the information and they can do a quick glance, they'll make a decision. But sometimes even that can be premature. So you might have to rely on the research and expertise of others who might have done their due diligence around that and be confident that they're guiding you the right way.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Elliott. Praise God. And I know Bishop is really informed on things like this, Mother Ange, and hopefully, you know, when he gets his school and, you know, voting comes around, we'll have that person in place that can teach us. Praise Lord, because I know there are so many areas that I need to be taught on. And even when it comes to ministers and preachers, I ran into some of them that don't even know what the gospel is, you know, and had to share with them that it's more than a scripture, it's more than a hoop, but it's telling somebody about Jesus. That went up Golgotha's hill and died for the sin of the world and went to hell, but got up early the third day morning. Now, that's the gospel. That's our way out. Praise the Lord. Like you said, Dr. Elliott, if you ain't got nobody else, then put Jesus there. I'm saying that he's my choice. So we give God glory. Anyone else? Amen. We got less than 5 minutes. Amen.
I have a question. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Weatherspoon. I want to know, since we are talking about voting, I wanted to know, has something been put in place where the states cannot use dead people and push their votes through? Y'all know what I mean.
Well, I think that's more on the line of fraud. This is Dr. Von Elliott. You know, that's individuals who come forth as if they are that dead person. So, you know, they
no, ma'am,
have,
they use the dead people's names and push the votes through. That was the government. That was it. Wasn't dead. It wasn't regular individuals. If you getting 30,000 extra votes, that's not individual. That's government doing this inside. And people had heard that this was happening. And matter of fact, when Bush, I think it was when they were saying it's a discrepancy in the votes, that was what they were accused of doing.
Well, I haven't heard much information about the reform around that. So me particular, I would have to research further, because I've only heard of when individuals have taken on the identity of the deceased and gone in and voted, you know, and so that was a big issue at some point. And so, you know, we know that fraud happens because it was a belief that we were hacked the last presidential election. So, you know, those types of things come with technology and some of the systems they put in place to protect voter identity.
So you're saying that something has been updated to where those people are not considered registered if they're deceased. They've removed the list, their names?
Ma'am, I'm not sure. I would have to do further research on that, because I know that they've done that and they have put more restrictions. But the data is not out there that says that, you know, they have reduced it by this amount and, you know, this is no longer an issue. So I'm not sure what they have in place, because I know that identity fraud is still an issue. You know, you can get somebody's death certificate and take on their identity. So, you know, you don't know what all is at play with that. But what's most important is to get the living, going to the polls, and get it done. And because if you know of a family member who is showing that they voted, then that's where the citizens have to be more aware and make a complaint against it, And then that will start to streamline the process so that vote could be removed out of that count. So you have to know, hey, I'm getting a notice in the mail that said my husband voted or he voted in the last two elections. So, you know, this is a part of our responsibility as well to be aware of the abuses that may be taking place with our family members around voting that may be deceased, and so we can intervene. But as far as the system, we're all a part of it, and so we have to, you know what's going on and be involved to, you know, work through that process.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. We're about to get off. So, Bishop, if you would just come with final remarks and benediction, we would appreciate it. Thank you all so very much, everyone, Dr. Elliott and Reverend Council and our International Presiding Bishop, Derek Robinson. Amen. Bishop may have had to get off. So, Dr. Elliott, would you just dismiss us in a word of prayer, please?
Yes. Heavenly gracious Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, Father, that the women have come together, Father, to share their voice, their experiences, Father, and to lift you up in this season. So we give you all the honor and praise on today that seeds have been planted, Father, and they will be watered and grow unto the fruits that you desire for us all to be, Father, so we can work in the vineyard on your behalf. So we just thank you right now for the word that has gone forth, that have gone forth, Father, and we pray for a successful election, Father, that the hearts and minds of individuals are touched, Father, to make the right decision, because in the end, you know who should be in that seat, and we want your guidance in everything that we do, Father. So order our lips, our minds, our feet, our hands on today as we go forth and leave this place, but not your presence. So we give you all the honor and praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Elliott, Reverend Council, and everyone. Love you all. Be safe.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless everybody.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.